Would you please open your Bibles to Proverbs 31? And we're going to study together the example of the woman who fears the Lord that's described in this chapter. And I want to just start out by asking the question to the ladies who are here. And that is, what do you think of when you think of Proverbs 31? What comes to your mind? Is it inspirational when you think of this passage? Is it diligence that comes to your mind? Or when you think of Proverbs 31, do you feel overwhelmed by the example of this woman? Is it a picture of unattainable excellence? Is that how you think about it? Maybe it's something that actually discourages you. I'm married to a wonderful lady. My wife Shannon is such a gift to me. I think she's like a lot of women. I don't know if this is true of all women, but she can be vulnerable at times to comparing herself to other ladies and their strengths, and then to feel inadequate. So we joke about this together, and we joke about the fact that, you know, when she needs to be discouraged about certain things, she has particular friends that are really good at that. So she's got a friend who's just amazing at decorating. And when she goes and hangs out with her, she comes back and she's discouraged about her house. And then she's got the friend who is so incredibly patient and gentle with her kids. And when she's with that friend, she feels like she is an impatient ogre with her own children. And then she has the friend who is just incredible at reaching out to people and asking questions and drawing people out. And she's got the friend who is incredibly organized. And I just said to her, you know, Shan, have you ever thought about just like having a few friends that are total losers? Just like bad at everything? Because that's what I do. And that has worked well for me. I'm just playing with you boys. But you might think that Proverbs 31 woman is like the one-stop shopping place for discouragement. You don't need multiple friends. You just come to her, and in every area, you will feel inadequate by comparison. Well, obviously, that is not the purpose of this passage. That's not God's design for this passage. And we are reading the Bible wrong. If we read God's Word and we're left discouraged and focused on ourselves and how we are measuring up, left alone with ourselves. It's so important that we read all of God's Word, but especially this passage. Women, when you read this passage, you need to read it with humility and with faith. Humility in recognizing that it's not all about you, and that God is already aware of your weaknesses and deficiencies already. And you need to read it with faith, realizing that God has good for you in His Word. And there's joy and blessing that comes as you study His Word. And so the question that I want to encourage you to ask whenever you turn to this passage is, what effect does God want this passage to have on me? What does He want to accomplish through it? Now, there are a few things that I want to just point out to you before we actually read it together that I think can help you have a better perspective of Proverbs 31. And the first thing is that it's written by a mother to her son. Now, there is some scholarly disagreement about this. Certain people are not certain for sure as to the author of these verses. But many believe, based on the introduction to Proverbs 31, look at the first verse of the chapter. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him." That's the headline for this chapter. And in most sections of Proverbs, the headline that is given speaks to the author of the entire section, whether it be chapters or a single chapter. There's good reason to believe that this is teaching that King Lemuel's mother passed on to him. Now, we don't know anything about King Lemuel except that he had a godly mother, and when he was a young prince, she gave him this teaching to point out to him what mattered most in the wife that he would choose. And I think that that's helpful information to know about this passage. This is not written by a man who is just coming up with some standard that he thinks women should attain to. It's not a woman boasting about herself. When you think of Proverbs 31, you need to picture a mother sitting down and seeking to encapsulate those qualities of a godly woman that matter most. She's talking to her son. And she's urging him to ignore the culture around him that primarily says that what matters most in a woman is sexual appeal. And she's saying, no, here's what's truly praiseworthy, son. Here's what you need to look for. Here's what you need to respect and cherish. The second thing about Proverbs 31 is that it's a poem. It's a poem. In the original Hebrew, Proverbs 31 is an acrostic with each of the 22 verses starting with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So this starts in verse 10. If this were in English, we might say that this is the list of godly characteristics from A to Z. Now, obviously, this has been lost in translation, but if it were in English, like the original, it might sound something like this. A is for above all treasure. Her value surpasses that of jewels. I'm not much of a poet. This is just my attempt to come up with something to explain it. B is for benefit. All she does strengthens her husband. C is for cat, which she never kicks in anger. I had trouble with C. My other idea was C is for cash, which her husband showers her with. But you like that one? Yeah, I thought that might be popular with the ladies. But you get the point. This is a poetic description of godly wisdom in the life of a woman. And why do we use poetry? We use poetry to describe beauty. I see Kevin Hartnett out there. He's a poet. He understands this. We use poetry when we want to make something memorable, when we're trying to encapsulate incredible truth. Now, what this means is that Proverbs 31 is not a demanding description of every characteristic you should perfectly embody. All right, ladies, let me say that again. Proverbs 31 is not a demanding description of every characteristic that you should embody. No, it is a joyful celebration. A joyful celebration of womanly excellence, resourcefulness, and skill. As John Piper has helpfully put it, these characteristics are like a person stringing pearls on a necklace. I think that's a great picture. He's pulling these beautiful pearls and just putting them together. And the point is to draw these qualities together and hold them up so that they can be admired and appreciated. God Himself is taking joy in describing the virtues and unbounded potential of a God-fearing woman. He's taking joy in this, and He's inviting us into that joy. And so let's read together and celebrate with Him as we read Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. The first three verses are a description of this woman's worth. It says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life." And then it begins to describe the way in which she does him good. It begins to describe her activity. Look at this in verse 13. "She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings food. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hand. She plans a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands to hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And then in the closing verses, we hear of the praise that is due this kind of woman. In verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of the Lord. Commentator Bruce Waltke insightfully points out that we can all learn from this godly woman. He writes this, "This valiant wife has been canonized as a role model for all Israel for all time. Wise daughters aspire to be like her. Wise men seek to marry her. And all wise people aim to incarnate the wisdom she embodies, each in his own sphere of activity." We would all do well to learn from this woman and her example. And so women, whether you are married or you are single, you can aim to incarnate the wisdom embodied here. Men, we can also learn from this woman in her diligent labor, in her faithfulness. Married men, this is what we should praise in our wives. These are the things that we should value and treasure and publicly honor in our wives. For those of you men who are single and who are looking toward marriage, pay close attention to this passage of Scripture, because this is a description of what truly matters in a wife. This is what you should be concerned with. This is what should impress you. Now, this doesn't mean that you are going to find perfection. It doesn't mean that you should stand as some sort of judge over all the women around you. I wouldn't encourage you to hold up Proverbs 31 next to girls like that. What you need to remember, gentlemen, is that there are 30 chapters of Proverbs for you to live up to, okay? Keep that in mind and walk humbly. But pray that God would bless you with the kind of woman described here, and ask God to give you the wisdom not to be drawn to the worldly definition of what matters in a woman. Verse 10 begins with the question, an excellent wife, who can find? It's a statement about the preciousness, the rarity of this kind of woman. Commentator John Goldingay says, a better translation of the phrase, an excellent wife, is the truly capable woman. And quoting Bruce Waltke again, he states that the Hebrew phrase could also be rendered a valiant wife or woman of valor. The idea is competent strength. This woman possesses competent strength. And these are qualities that every woman, whether married or single, can seek to cultivate. And it really is what we see in the description of her activity and the way that she relates to others in her life. There's nothing wilting in this description. This is a strong woman. We see that womanhood, according to God's word, can and should be strong, even valiant. And this word valiant means courageous and determined. And you sense that as you look at her life. She's throwing herself into different activities. There is a courage and determination that's expressed in the way that she works, the way that she serves. And God is celebrating this woman created in His image, who is using all her God-given abilities and opportunities to meet needs, to serve, to create, to nurture life. I want to draw your attention to four characteristics of this valiant woman. And this list is not exhaustive. I can't cover all that is conveyed here in this passage. And this list is not in the order given in the passage, but really by order of importance. And we start with what's most important. Point number one, she fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. This is what is most important. Verse 30 states, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is the most vital, essential thing to know about this godly woman. It's the key quality that holds up everything else about her. She has placed God at the center of her life. This is the starting point of wisdom. This is the main point of the whole book of Proverbs. This is what we've learned over and over again as we've studied Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What makes us wise, what makes us skillful and effective in life is rightly knowing and relating to God. The most important quality of this valiant woman is that she knows and honors God above all else. She stands in awe of God. She has a humble regard for her Creator and her Lord. The verse says charm is deceptive. What it means is it promises so much, but it does not come through. You know, you can have the most amazing personality. You can be the life of the party. You can be so vivacious. And that can seem so promising, but it's actually deceptive. That's not the thing that's going to sustain a person's relationships. It's not the thing that's going to make a strong marriage. It says beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. When I was a young boy, my mom, I think this is one of the first verses she had me memorize. And the version I memorized is that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. It's over so quickly. You might be beautiful today, but guess what? You're going to get old. And I don't care if you have all the money in the world and you Botox yourself into eternity, you're going to get old. All right? Your hair is going to fall out. Yeah. It's not wrong to appreciate beauty. It's important to be attracted to the person that you marry. But this verse is saying, don't make this the issue of greatest importance, because beauty's fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. The thing that you should praise, the quality that lasts, the quality that's truly important and worthy of praise and respect, is the fear of the Lord, caring most about God. You know, if you think about these qualities as like blocks, have you ever played that game Jenga, where you have the little blocks and you stack them up and then you slowly start to pull out the blocks and you see how many you can pull out without having the whole thing topple over? Well, it's appropriate that this verse 30, is at the end of the passage. It's almost as if it is holding everything else up, because there are certain blocks you can take out and the little tower will stay together. But there's always that one block that ultimately is what everything else is resting on. And that's what the fear of the Lord is like in this woman's life. Everything else, all of her other qualities, are built on this quality. And so when you read through Proverbs 31, you need to read them in light of this. They are motivated and shaped by and empowered by the fact that she is rightly relating to God. And so you can read it in this way: because she fears the Lord, she does her husband good. Because she fears the Lord, she works with willing hands. Because she fears the Lord, she buys a field and plants a vineyard. Her entrepreneurial ventures are informed by integrity and a desire to serve her household. Because she fears the Lord, she cares for the poor and shares with those in need. She cares about God's covenant community. She cares about the church, the people of God. She cares about strangers in the community. Because she fears the Lord, she can laugh at the days to come. Because she fears God, she doesn't have to fear an unknown future. She trusts in the Lord. Because she fears the Lord, she opens her mouth with wisdom. Her life and her words instruct others. Because she fears the Lord, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her knowledge of God is what motivates her to work faithfully, because she's working as unto the Lord. Do you see how this quality undergirds everything else in her life? Ladies, the fear of the Lord is not one quality among many, and you can sort of pick and choose and come to this list and say, you know what, I'm really into knitting, so I'm going to choose she seeks wool and flax, and fear of the Lord, that's just not my deal. No. The fear of the Lord is the quality that truly matters. The way that you express the fear of the Lord in your life, it might not look exactly like another woman. You're not going to have the same gifts. You're not going to have the same ability. But the one essential, the non-negotiable, is that you're building your life around God and His priorities. So Proverbs 31 is not a list of all the household chores a woman has to do. It's a description of what wisdom in motion looks like in the life of a godly woman. Wisdom in motion, wisdom in real life, wisdom applied. This is what knowing and loving God unleashes in the life of a woman. Diligence, service, creativity, boldness, and influence. Women, you will never find fulfillment as a woman. You will never understand who you are or what your purpose on this planet is as a female human being until you know your loving Creator, the God who made you, the God who loves you with an everlasting love. You were made for Him. Do you realize that? That's true of every human being, but I'm speaking specifically right now to women. Do you realize that you were made for God? You were made to worship Him and enjoy Him forever. To know this God. You are not made for yourself. You're not made for money. You're not even made ultimately for a good husband, although God made you to be a helper and a nurturer. That's true. But you were made for God. You were made to know and worship Him and His purposes in this world to be fulfilled through you. A valiant, God-glorifying woman is not living first and foremost for personal success. She's not living for a man. She's not living for her children. She is living for the God who created her and who redeemed her through Jesus Christ. And all that she does for her husband and for her family and for the community is an overflow of the fact that her life has a purpose rooted in a love for and a regard for the living God. She fears the Lord. Point number two. She gives her life away. She gives her life away. What does our society idealize about womanhood? What does our culture say matters in a woman? If I were to take my 9-year-old daughter to Montgomery Mall, and we were to walk through that mall and stop in front of every storefront, and just take a moment to look at the images on display so often of women, and we were to just look at these pictures and the advertisements and all that's being communicated through this mall. By the way, I wouldn't encourage you to do this exercise with your 9-year-old daughter, but if I were to take Emma through the mall and we were just to take the time to look at all this, what would she learn about what it means to be a successful woman, about what matters in a woman? Well, I think she'd learn that what matters is physical beauty. She'd learned that sexual appeal and the attention of men is the highest value. She'd learned that financial success and personal achievement is the goal of womanhood. If you can be successful and you can display that through the clothes you wear or the products that you have in your possession, that's what truly matters. So the goal is independence and power and not needing anyone. I mean, if you just were to sum up what our culture celebrates in womanhood, it's sexiness and independence. To be desirable and to not need anybody else, but instead to be at the center of your world and have everything else in your life just be an accessory. Whether it's clothing or it's your husband. Your husband is an accessory. Your children are accessories. And it's all about you. That's the lie that's given to women. It's the lie that's given to men. It's what life looks like apart from living for God Himself. And yet Proverbs 31 paints such a radically different picture of what matters in womanhood, doesn't it? It doesn't hold out this sexy independence as the ideal. What it honors is a woman who is others-centered. What she does, she's not just doing for her own gain. All that she does is motivated by desiring to be a blessing to the people around her. And what we learn here is that a God-centered life, a life of true wisdom, is filled with activity for others. This woman's life is interwoven and knit together with the people around her in her community. And she's spending herself for the benefit of others. The point of godly womanhood, listen to this, is not about a certain list of activities. The activities in and of themselves are not necessarily righteous or good or noble. It's all about your heart before God and your motivation for doing them. You can do the laundry and dishes selfishly. You can want a clean house, not for the blessing of other people, but for your own self and desires. You can be like the ultimate mom who takes your kids to every single special activity and private class that's offered in Montgomery County. You can do that out of selfish motives because you want your kid to be a certain way so that you can look a certain way. You can pursue a career and that be all about you having money and power and independence. All these things can be self-centered, but if your heart before God is right, if you're a woman who fears the Lord, all these things can be an expression of worship to God and love for others. What we learn from the woman of Proverbs 31 is that when the organizing principle of your life is the fear of the Lord, when He's at the center, all that you do and all your activities are for the glory of God and the good of others. This is what Jesus said. It sums up the law and the prophets. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like it. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what this Proverbs 31 woman is doing. She fears the Lord. She gives her life away in service. This is what we should esteem in womanhood. Look at all the ways that this woman is connected to and enriching the lives of others. Look, underline these verses. Note these verses with me. Verse 12, she does her husband good. She's not just running a household. She's doing good to the man that God has called her to help. Verse 15, she provides food for her household. She's not just concerned for her children, but for the people who are serving in her home. She has maidens. She has help. She's running a home business, making garments of wool and flax so that she can trade them. And then like the ships that come from afar, the merchant ships, she's using her skills to make things so that she can barter and then bring back to the home food that delights and blesses her family. She has others in mind. Verse 18, she's making a profit from her investments and her hard work. And this phrase, her lamp does not go out, doesn't mean that She never sleeps. Okay, that's not the point. Godliness is not being an insomniac, all right? Sleep is a gift from God. It's a phrase that speaks of the profit that she's bringing. Her lamp does not go out. In other words, the household is not running out of money because she's so resourceful. She's so faithful. She goes and buys a piece of land and then she plants a vineyard. And why is she doing this? Not just for selfish gain. Look at what verse 20 says. She opens her hands to the poor. And Proverbs, being written to the people of Israel, is always thinking first and foremost of the people of God. And so our application is, this woman is thinking about how she can bless others in the church. She's looking around, she's seeing people in need, and she's seeking to meet those needs. And of course, that heart of love, as we learned last Sunday, reaches out to others outside of our church community, strangers that are in need of help. The valiant woman is a woman who courageously turns her back on selfishness and independence and spends herself in the service of her husband and her children and the community. Point number three, she is capable. You can't read these verses without being struck by the fact that this is a woman who has cultivated skills. She has abilities that go beyond mere gifting. She has worked to develop these capabilities. She's done this evidently through practice. She's been educated and has cultivated her mind in different ways. And so she's skilled in working with her hands and creating clothing. Verse 13. She's learned to trade and to barter and to do business. Verse 14. She works with real estate. She's able to figure out what a piece of land is worth. And then she has learned how to plant a vineyard so that she can create a profit for her family. She's cultivated gifts to be able to dress with elegance in a way that's attractive and appropriate. She's able to teach others, verse 26 tells us. Now, earlier I was joking about the temptation to compare yourself to this woman and be discouraged. I just want to remind all of the women here again. No person, no woman is perfect in every way. Okay? Nobody is strong in every way. Everybody has deficiencies and weaknesses. Everybody needs to take a nap once in a while. I believe this woman napped. Okay? It just didn't fit in the poem to try to fit the nap line in there. All right? You know, we're all sinners. We all need the grace of God on a daily basis. So I just want to encourage you, as you read this, don't compare yourself. Don't think, oh, I'm not a Proverbs 31 woman. That's not some sort of badge that we need to hand out to people. The question is, are you learning from her example? Are you being provoked by it? You know, this is really the highlight reel from her life. It doesn't show all the times she messed up, slept in, forgot to make the servants, you know, lunch. It doesn't tell us about the time she tried to plant a vineyard and nothing grew because she planted at the wrong time. This is showing the successes. This is showing the fruit of her faithfulness over years. And I just want to encourage you ladies. So many of you ladies, you're primarily aware of the mistakes that you've made, but you've got a highlight reel like this. And the people around you see it. So don't be discouraged. Be encouraged at the grace of God in your life. But I want to talk to you about an opposite extreme, an opposite mistake you can make. One mistake is to read this, to compare yourself, to be discouraged and to feel inadequate. Don't do that. But there's an opposite extreme, and that is to read this with apathy. And to just say, well, I'm never going to do that. That's not a real woman. That's a poem. I'm not going to build my life around poems, okay? And to not be challenged in any way by this passage. And yet, I believe when we come to God's Word, it's appropriate for you as a woman to read this and to be in a godly way provoked, to be challenged, to look at this and say, I want my life to have this kind of impact on other people. Not to be condemned, not to add something else to the list, but to realize that God wants you to cultivate skills and abilities. You know, some of you young women are in school right now and you're studying hard and you've got a heart to develop different abilities. You've got a heart to be married one day and to have a family. That's wonderful. I just want you to be inspired. You know what? Your faithfulness right now is cultivating abilities that are going to serve you and serve your family and serve the church in the years to come. Work hard. Be diligent. It could be that God draws something to your attention where you look around and you see a need and you realize, I could meet that need if I had a certain capability. And so you start working on something. And it might be a small thing, it might be a big thing, it might be something that you don't feel like you're that good at, but because you have a heart to serve, you start practicing and you start working. And what I'm saying here is I want to urge you, ladies, to have godly ambition. For God to cultivate in you and build in you capabilities that make you more useful for the Master. And again, so many of you women, you're already doing this. You don't need to add something to the list. Just keep serving in the way that you're doing. But be women who seek the Lord and to consider how you can develop capabilities, not for your own gain or your own glory, but for the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's our calling. Point number four. She is influential. Proverbs 31 shows us a woman who has an incredible power. Her godliness, her example, her courage, her determination serves others. It influences others. She exerts an amazing influence on the world around her. Consider the influence she has starting with her family. Look at verse 28. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. It's as if she walks into the room. And I don't think this is like an every time she walks into the room occurrence. This is a moment where the family is taking time to acknowledge and honor this mother. But they arise. It's like they stand in her presence and they say, this is a picture of a life well lived. This is wisdom. And so we call her blessed. We praise her. We thank God for her example. And her husband joins in the praise when he says, many, many women do excellently, but you surpass them all. And when you read this, this isn't just, okay, let's pat mom on the back and give some encouragement. I hope what you see when you read this is the incredible influence that a godly woman can have in her home. Do you realize that you can change the world from your home? Women, do you realize the power of your example? You know, our culture, it values motherhood to a certain extent, and yet in so many ways, we don't really get it. We're not standing up on our chairs shouting and yelling the praise of women who are giving their lives away to care for their kids. And we think it's a small thing, but it's a world-changing thing. It's a world-changing thing. And when you understand the priority of passing on to the next generation the glories of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word, it's an eternity-affecting thing. And so this moment, when these children are rising up and this husband is praising his wife, it's a moment where they're acknowledging, you know what? What you have done is irreplaceable. You have shaped us. You have influenced us by your example, by your wisdom, and they're praising her. And for all the wives and mothers who are here, if you ever have those days where you just think, what am I doing with my life? May this verse remind you of the kind of praise that really matters. And so many of you have earned this kind of praise. Now, I know that some of you are single women, and it might be tempting to be discouraged, to feel like, you know what, I'm not married, and I apart from marriage, I can never reach my full potential. I'm always sort of halfway there. And I just want you to know that is absolutely not true. Do you realize that you can give yourself to all of the priorities that are outlined in Proverbs 31? You can be a woman who fears the Lord. You can give your life away in service to people around you. You can invest yourself. You can nourish others and care for others. You can develop capabilities that can be used to advance God's purposes. And what I hope you realize is that God Himself will rise up and praise you for your faithfulness. And there are more voices than just His, because there are so many members of this church community that stand up and thank God for you, single women. The way that you've served in this church, the way that you have invested in the lives of children and cared for others, the way that you've come alongside other women and spoken the truth of God's word into their life. I want you to realize that there is a multitude of people in your spiritual family who rise up and say, you are blessed. We thank God for you. But notice that the influence of this kind of godly woman doesn't stop with a family. It reaches into the community. We already noted verse 20 and her compassion for the needy. But verse 23 points to the fact that her faithful oversight of her household frees her husband to play a significant role in civic life. Look at verse 23. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, that's a statement, obviously, that this man that she's married is a man who has lived the same kind of God-centered life. He's a man who's worked diligently. He's a man who has leadership qualities. But I think that this verse is saying more than just she chose well in a husband. It's a statement of the fact that her activity has contributed to his ability to stand in the gates and influence others. And in this day, the gates were the place of civic responsibility, where laws were made, where social interaction took place, where leadership was expressed. And you see this over and over again in just about any form of leadership. Think about the highest offices of our land. Men leading our country. And so often, what do you see as the key ingredient in their life and career? A capable woman at their side who's pouring her life into her ability and faithfulness to release her husband to influence. Once again, do you see? You can touch the world from your home, ladies. Do you see how you can reach into the community and affect the community? Look at verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This godly woman influences others with her words, with her speech. She teaches. A heart of wisdom overflows in words of wisdom. A heart and lifestyle of serving others is expressed in the teaching of kindness. This woman's life gives her a platform to speak to and teach others. You almost picture younger women coming to her and saying, can you mentor me? Can you teach me how you do this? I see the way that you give yourself away to others, and I want to be like that. And so she teaches. And women of the church, I want you to hear this. We need you to play this part in this church. Speaking on behalf of the pastors, we need you to step up to this calling that's not only given in Proverbs, but in the New Testament. We need you to help disciple and train younger women. Women who are coming up behind you. Listen to Titus chapter 2 as this young pastor is instructed on how he's to deploy the older women of the church. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. What does the Apostle Paul understand? He understands the incredible potential and power of a godly woman who fears the Lord, who's using her gifts and abilities to influence others around her. And he's saying, Titus, if you want to be a faithful local church, if you want to be a local church that's making a difference in the community around you and advancing the gospel, you need help. You need the help of these women to step in and out of the wisdom that God has given them to teach. And so, ladies, please, please help your church. I'm so excited about the fact that Valerie Maresco, who is leading our women's ministry under the oversight of the pastors, she is coming up with so many ideas and plans for the coming years on how we can do this, how we can live this as a local church. One of the ideas that she's putting forward that you're going to be hearing about soon is something called Tea and Talk. It's just a real simple idea to gather together women who are a little bit older with one to three other younger women and just facilitate relationship. Just get together and have tea, coffee, whatever. That's the only meeting you need to have, but if there's a friendship that's formed, we just want to create opportunities for this kind of mentoring to take place. To give opportunities for you to influence. In conclusion, women of Covenant Life Church, first of all, I so respect you. It is such an honor to be a part of this church with you and labor to serve the Lord with you. And I just thank God for your godliness and the way that you serve in so many different ways, married women, single women, in the home, in the workplace, in the church. There's so much to commend, and I just want to thank you for that. I respect you so much. You know, whether you have walked with the Lord for decades or only a few months, God's purpose and plan for you is so beautiful, and I hope you see that. It's just breathtaking in its scope. And if you're carrying around ideals and visions of womanhood that are shaped by a world that is lost and confused, I just want to encourage you, put those aside and pick up the Word of God and the truth that it speaks to you as a woman, because it's so much better and so much more powerful and so much more fulfilling and so much more beautiful than anything that this world could possibly give. And my challenge to you is don't settle for anything less than that. Because God's plan for you is so good. And what I hope that you realize is that you can come to this passage and read it with hope and joy, all because of Jesus Christ. You know, it's because Jesus has come to rescue us from our sin that we don't have to be justified by our performance in the home, at the job, wherever it might be. Ladies, do you realize that you don't earn your standing before God by being a Proverbs 31 woman? You could do all these things and it wouldn't be enough to earn God's favor. God's favor has already been earned for you by the faithful obedience and death of Jesus Christ, who's risen again for you. And it's that truth that enables you, it frees you to come to this passage with joy and freedom. Because you're not earning anything before God. God has given you everything in Christ. And now, by His Holy Spirit living in you, you can be a woman who fears the Lord. You can draw near to Him with faith. You can offer yourself to Him and say, God, I'm yours. All that I have, every opportunity, every gift, every skill, it's for your glory and the good of others. Ladies, be this kind of woman. A woman who trusts in Jesus Christ, who fears the Lord, who changes the world because of that.